Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you today? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all of last week? Oh, we got started shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew and our relationship conversation. And we did it a little differently last week as we started off with who's right and who's wrong. Oh, we started off with the couple who agreed to not start their marriage without a prenup at the husband's suggestion. And, the wife was going to school and, chilling along, and she agreed to it. Well, later, when she could pull out the big bucks to purchase that Audi all cash, hubby wanted to know, where you get that money from? And when she showed that she could make quite a bit of her own ducats on her own, all he wanted to step back off the prenup. Who's right and who's wrong? Are you serious? Says the Due Time crew. No, you asked for it, you got it. No, and I agree. Oh, the second scenario was, did she overreact? Well, you have a mom who married a man who she later found out he had on his phone a picture of her five-year-old son, wallpaper. Yes, the little tyke was smiling on the front of the phone, and she was not having it. She told him, I need you to remove that picture right now. Got mad, stormed out the restaurant, didn't pay for his food, only paid for hers. Did she overreact? The Due Time crew says, absolutely. I mean, come on, how many times have women not had a concern? You know, she never voiced that she thought it was creepy or not. She just wanted it off there. And one of the Due Time crew members said she was jealous. Maybe her picture should have been on the front of the phone. Well, that's how they voted. Well, last but definitely not least, the question of who is the greater monster? An ex-couple. Now, just imagine that. An ex-couple have already been fighting the law regarding child abuse allegations. And they had a videotape of the husband. The wife took it. The husband doing his business in, I guess, some kind of container. And she took the semen and put it in the cupcakes and served it to the children. And they are fighting in court because the prosecutors say that he is the bigger monster. Now, we definitely did not agree with that one. Nope, not at all. They both were creeps and disgusting and nasty. Who does that to some innocent children? Yeah. So, you don't play that game. You're both monsters. You're both nasty. And you know what? You both need to go to jail. Nobody should be getting any kind of plea deal. Cut it out already. All right. Well, we can't finish our Monday mornings off without our switch tip. And switch tip number 92 was stop cursing. Now, after hearing those three stories, ain't no way in the world you gonna prevent from cursing. But, yes, the Bible tells us that let no, you know, word come out of our mouths that's not edifying and uplifting. And, you know, we got to do what we got to do. And Shanti talked about her struggles. And, you know, God is dealing with her. Amen. And we're praying that God is dealing with each and every one of us with this issue of cursing, because it's so easy to do if that's what you used to do, just like anything else, you know, and you really got to catch yourself. Okay, all righty. Well, that's how we finish off our Monday morning. Well, let's talk about it. Tuesday, Church Folk Day rolled around, and we had a special women's edition of Church Folk Day, and we talked about the Catholic priest who had been baptizing especially babies for decades, and he was snagged by the diocese because they said he was not using the word "I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit," but he was saying "We baptize you," and that voided and just destroyed any baptisms that he had performed. Well, we did a little chatting and come to find out that a couple of other things should have been voiding those baptisms as well. And I'm going to send you back to listen. Okay? All right now. Well, wow, Wednesday rolled around and we had our girlfriend Vivian come on and help us out with our socially conscious segment. And first and foremost, we want to talk about those COVID numbers. Well, for the first time, Vivian's been bringing us the COVID numbers, all top five states dropped in the numbers. So we're going to say a hearty amen. And she talked about the woman who got in the Uber that did not match specifications that was sent to her prior to the car showing up. And she ended up getting shot by the driver three times. Well, the NTA is in an all-out chaotic situation as in a 48-hour period, 9 assaults took place. Yes. I mean, come on. What are we doing here? Are we really killing our visitors? Yeah, we really have to consider that because it's real. Okay. Well, our women of worship were in the house and we talked about things that hinder your prayers from being answered. And we talked about the fact that a lack of love will definitely hinder your prince from being with pride. What about that disobedience? Okay. And family discord. Yeah, those things, you know, you can't very well go before the Lord asking him, you know, to answer your prayers. And you can't handle things such as family discord. You ain't got no love. What, then what is God answering? I don't know. I don't know either. Yeah. I'm shrugging my shoulders too. I haven't a clue. Because God needs to see your love in action. God needs to see that you're helping to put it all together. God needs to see that you're living a life. And it's funny because I always, this is a real touchy subject with me about this. Pray, you know, this question, does Jesus answer a sinner's prayer, comes up from time to time. And, you know, I've known people to, you know, tell other people, you know, yeah, go pray about it. And, you know, it's not that God is not listening to their prayer, but we have to remember something. God is going to answer the prayer of a contrite heart. Yes, you can't live one thing, pray about another, and then God is going to be all over that thing. No, it just doesn't make sense. There's no way it makes sense that we can live a restless life, but yet God is answering our prayers. Yeah, he's answering our prayers, okay, all right, which shows you how kind and faithful he is. We get up every day. Still leaves us with our job, our clothes, our homes, everything intact. But some of those other things that we pray about just may not get answered until we actually start getting together and show God that we're willing to be about what we're praying about. Well, we couldn't close down a Wednesday without our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene. And, you know, yes, there is a faith over fear, this level of unbelief and fear and trepidation when we want our prayers to be answered. No, you got to stand up. You got to stand up, and you got to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. You can't be fearful. No, that, like, kills. It really will kill your relationship with God and his prayer business. Okay? All righty. Well, Therapeutic Thursday rolls around. And our news stories definitely out of control. We talked about the Chicago elderly couple that was just beaten for no reason. We had a story about the teacher who gave the note to her teacher from the mom, saying that was really not treating her well, kidnapping her, and found out that her brother was found dead in the freezer at the hands of the man. And, you know, thank God that she was brave enough to give, you know, the teacher the note, because, you know, a lot of little things came out about, you know, children and how they are on top of things. Yeah. You know, they're not as oblivious as we think sometimes. Yeah. So, Freestyle Friday rolled on in, and we really were blessed to have the men in the house. And, you know, it's Freestyle Friday. We do whatever we want to do, but we only have the men in mind. Yes, we ask them to help send us into a weekend. And they did. We talked about, you know, turning boys into godly men. Yes. Right there. And they really did a fantastic job with helping to point out some things that we really need to pay attention to, you know, to show that they need self-control and leadership skills and qualities. And, you know, it's really hard these days. It's really hard to train boys to become decent men. And we're talking about godly men. And we brought up the fact that the church and the world really needs to see some godly men. You know, when we start talking about the men in our world, you know, a lot of them are missing the mark. And it's for stupid stuff. I mean, it's just dumb stuff. A lot of pride and ego is involved. And, you know, what are we doing? Are we really setting an example for our young boys? Okay, because it doesn't come natural. We talked about this on Friday. It doesn't come natural to them to automatically be godly. That's something that's taught, because men who have sat up in church half their life, they can't even seem to get it together. So we can't expect our boys to automatically know how to become godly men. We got to make the time to invest. Yes, we have to invest in them the way the Lord invests in us. You know, so they did a fantastic job, and we want to make sure that you are reminded to go back and listen, okay? Well, last night, Sunday, the Word Prayer Project was in effect, and we prayed about kindness. Now, again. When I think about the condition of this world, I'm really trying to figure out, where is the kindness? Again, everybody's worrying about pride and ego and what they want to do and what makes them feel comfortable and how they want to do things. And yet, kindness is missing. How is that? How is that? Kindness is missing from our Christian community. Yeah, that's pretty scary, y'all. That's pretty scary. Well, the prayer requests were in, and they hit into some spots. They were even asking God to help them be kind to themselves. Ooh, that's it. That's big. We can't assume that we automatically know how to be kind to others when we can't even be kind to ourselves. So God was definitely, definitely showing up last night, and it was a blessing to just read off the many prayer requests. And I thank all of you who sent in your prayer requests. And I pray that you just continue to join us each and every Sunday night. And tell a friend, our views were up a little bit. So we're giving God thanks. You know, we're on that climb to 1 million women. Oh, yeah, I'm claiming it. You know, it may be when I'm 93, but it's okay. We're going to get there because that's God's requirement. All right? All right. So that's how we ended our, spent our last week, and that's how we ushered in this week. And now we are shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. Can you believe it's already Monday, the 28th of February? We are finishing out the month of February today. And again, I ask, how many people did you tell? How many people did you tell about his due time with Pastor Steph? because we've been rocking and rolling over here, and not only have we been blessing people, but we've been blessed ourselves. So, you know, you got to make sure that you tell people. You can't just listen all the time and you not share. Okay. All right. Well, I think you need to get those pens out because I got some information for you. And I can't wait for you to go get that healthy breakfast because, you know what, we're on a better eating kick. We got to make sure that we take care of these temples that God gave us. And make sure you don't go anywhere because we'll be right back.
Nationwide Children's Hospital has gone from a very strong regional hospital to a national leader in cancer care. I'm Dr. Randall Olszewski. I'm a pediatric oncologist at Nationwide Children's Hospital. Many families come to us at the time of their diagnosis, and their number one question is why? Why did this happen? We are learning more and more about what causes cancer. The first hurdle is to cure them, but it's a rough road for them. Most children and adolescents with cancer are going to survive their disease. We have a cancer survivorship clinic here for children who have survived their cancer and are more than 5 years off therapy. Good survivorship care really is having providers who understand not only the therapy they receive, but also the side effects that therapy can bring down the line. There's a lot of moving parts. Cancer care is complex. It involves a large team of people. It can take time, but we're learning more and more, and everyone is here really to focus on you, not just as a patient, but also as a family.
Well, good morning to you again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And today we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Welcome. If this is your first time listening, welcome back. If you are, you know, our family already, you know, we're so happy to have you with us. So happy to have you with us. And I want you to get those pens out because I got some information for you this morning. So a while, you know, maybe about, what, a little over a month ago, we talked about your bathroom experiences, if you will. And I came across another article, and it says, you know, things your bathroom habits say about your health. And I thought this was, like, so important because there's just certain things people don't talk about. And just in case you got some stuff going on over there and you've been ignoring it or you've been making light of it, maybe we'll come across something today that will stimulate you to go get it checked out. Okay, number one, spending long periods of time on the toilet. Now, you know, sometimes people go in there to kind of, you know, get your thoughts together or to spend some private time. And, you know, hey, you know, I ain't mad at you. You know, listen, you get it how you get it. However, they say when you spend extended periods of time on the toilet, there's a tendency for you to bear down. And that subsequently increases the pressure in the rectum and the anus. And they're saying that prolonged periods of downward pressure in this area of your body can contribute to the development of hemorrhoids. And it can weaken the pelvis muscles over a period of time. So we definitely don't want that to happen. So if you're, you know, the type that, you know, goes to the bathroom and you just sit there, you know, you may not even realize that, you know, you're bearing down and stuff like that. And you definitely don't want that to happen. So I don't know. You may have to get another source of really kind of finding a quiet place. Okay. All right. Number two, pushing and straining. They say if you're having to push or strain with bowel movements, or you don't feel like you're completely finished after an extended amount of time, you may have issues with constipation. Now, they say constipation has a number of causes, but some of the most common are an inadequate amount of fiber in your diet and not drinking enough water. And if that is your issue, shame on you. Why? Because we spent a lot of time talking about this fiber in your diet, the multiple ways to put fiber in your diet. We talked about drinking water. We always talk about drinking water. And we even went through this long list of, you know, where the different brands of water fall on the list. So if you're still having problems like that, come on. You got to get it together, okay? They're talking about the fact that constipation, again, brings on hemorrhoids, which can cause bleeding and pain. So they're encouraging you to incorporate more grains and cereals with high fiber count, fruits and vegetables to your diet, to make sure you can really go to the bathroom. And I'm going to tell you something I learned, and I think I mentioned this to you before, that constipation doesn't start when you get to the bathroom. Yeah, like that part of it. Constipation starts a lot earlier on the inside of your body, but we don't feel it. We don't know, you know, that we're constipated. But it's something that it gets started a lot sooner than you even realize. By the time you realize it, you've been constipated. So come on. Let's get that fiber in our system. Let's get that water in our system so we can go to the bathroom properly. And we're not bleeding down there. Come on. That's got to be painful. Okay. Number three, they say hard pellet-like stools in the toilet bowl is a concern. Yes. Again, they're talking about this constipation possibility. So you really need to make sure that you mention this to your doctor, because they're reminding us that certain medications really can constipate us. So you don't want to get caught behind that and you're not mentioning it to your doctor. You got to mention to the doctor that, you know, you're having those hard pellet-like movements, and, you know, they will definitely, he or she will definitely help to, you know, get you out of that. Okay? All righty. Number four, frequent or loose bowel movements. They say, you know, if you go to the bathroom up to 3 times a day, that's normal. But if you find that you're going to the bathroom more than that, it could be a problem. And they say that you can have like a gastrointestinal issue. And if this bowel frequency only occurs when you eat certain foods, then you're going to have to, you know, pay attention to that. Okay? Because that's for real. You know, a lot of people are lactose intolerant. So drinking milk will send you to the bathroom. Eggs. I have an extremely bad egg allergy. And one of the things it will do is definitely send me to the bathroom with a whole lot of pain. And they're saying that we need to watch how often we have these loose bowel movements or frequent bowel movements. Okay? So they're saying watch for not only diarrhea, but the abdominal pain, ding, 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 which is what I just mentioned, nausea and vomiting. Ding, 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 ding. I get that too. Okay? So they say you got to make sure that if you do have frequent or loose bowel movements, make sure you mention it to your doctor. Make sure you watch, you know, how you're eating, what you're eating, and make sure you drink like electrolyte type drinks. Okay, and I believe that's like Gatorade. I believe. I'm not too well versed on that. Okay. Oh, number five, they're saying frequent changes in your bowel habits. All right, we've all seen, gotta go right now. Yes, that IBS. And that is definitely something to be concerned about, that irritable bowel syndrome. Okay, make sure you check for your bloating, check for gas, that abdominal pain, and a constant change. You know, you don't have, and it's not your food. They say you got to make sure you watch, because irritable bowel syndrome has that type of fluctuation. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention. Number six. Okay, I just got it. Yes, Gatorade is that electrolyte beverage that you need to drink if you're constantly going to the bathroom. Okay, so you can build your body back up. Thank you so much. I always got my, everybody's watching out for me. Thank you so much. Okay, blood in the stool. Okay, if you find blood in your stool, blood in the toilet bowl or blood on the toilet paper after wiping, they say you really need to pay attention to that. Don't brush it off. It can be a sign of hemorrhoids, but it can be a sign of so many other things. And you really need to see your doctor and get a colonoscopy possibly to determine, you know, why there's bleeding. And I can go into a litany of things that can cause you to bleed. And if so, there's issues. It could be some type of cancer. It could be polyps. It could be, inflammatory bowel disease. It could be some type of internal bleeding. You know, it doesn't only have to come from your rectum. It could come from your abdomen. But you definitely have to pay attention, and you want to run if you see it on a regular basis. You know, so, and I don't mean like after a month regular. I'm talking about, you know, okay, so today, you know, because sometimes there's some, you know, some straining that goes on, and you're not, you know, aware, like the article said a little earlier. But you definitely don't want it to go past like 3-4 days. Oh, no. That is definitely a sign of problems. And maybe you can catch it early enough so that you can, you know, deal with it. Okay? All righty. Well, I have to tell you, now that this war is going on, if you will, with the Ukraine and Russia, there's not a whole lot of news. No, and I'm not saying, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that, you know, the this goings on is not important. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, let's talk about it, is kind of slim. You know, so I had to really, really scratch and, I mean, really get into some stuff. So the first thing I want to talk about today is, oh, yeah, you know, I'm on my Mayor Adams kick. And he is now planning, after Hochul, Governor Kathy Hochul's decision to scrap the mask in the schools in New York State, she's now leaving it up to him to deal with how he moves forward with these masks and all kinds of things in New York City. So here we are. Vaccine passports will no longer be required in New York City starting March 7th, depending on the numbers. You know, if there's no, you know, spiking, or it looks like it's going to start spiking. I don't even know how you figure that out. That sounds so cockeyed to me. You know, there's no unforeseen spikes. Isn't it unforeseen? How are you going to determine that? Okay, that's just Stephanie. Okay. Well, yes. And he plans on lifting the mask, the school mask mandate as well. And he says at the end of this week, he's going to evaluate the numbers and make a final announcement on Friday. And so for those of you who are, you know, you're sending his children to school with these masks on, he's saying that you don't have to send them. Now, here's the bigger one. Also starting March 4th, he says patrons at Big Apple restaurants, gyms, and indoor venues will no longer be required to show proof of vaccination. They say that the numbers have been continually going down, and the risk of, you know, contracting the COVID virus is, you know, much slimmer. So he's going to, you know, scrap those rules that was imposed last year by Mayor de Blasio, where he required people to have proof of vaccination for any of those things. Again, the indoor dining, the indoor fitness, or the indoor entertainment, and certain meeting spaces, you know, centers and not Broadway theaters, but if you had like a local theater that you rented out, event halls, bridal, you know, where people got married and had gathering. Yeah, unless you showed proof of vaccination, you were not allowed to attend those events. And so he's planning on scrapping that. He said that there's like 540 new COVID cases in the last 7 days, and that was down from 2,000 daily at the beginning of the month. So now, here's the thing I found kind of interesting. Now, even though you can go without having the vaccine requirement, they are still mandating certain city employees to vaccinate, because they made sure to mention that Kyrie Irving, he plays for the Nets now. He used to play for Golden State, I believe. And that's out in California, for those of you who don't know. Well, it's either that he played for them or Cleveland, one of the two. He's still, he's been on the bench because he refuses to vaccinate to play ball, to play professional ball for the Nets. And he still can't play ball if he doesn't get vaccinated. So, you know, they're saying that even some of the city employees, he's considered a city employee, and he still has to get vaccinated. Some city employees will still have to be vaccinated, and they're only lifting those things. So the merchants have the ability to still impose the mandates. Yes, they have not lifted and mandated that the merchants must stop it. If they feel like they want to continue the mask mandate, they can lift it, or keep it, rather. So let me know what you think. Now, Stephanie says, I'm keeping my mask on. Now, you may not, you know, impose the mandate on me, and that's wonderful, because that means that we're walking back into some, you know, some bit of normalcy. But at 540-something cases in the last 7 days, I think that's still kind of high. Now, when you think about it across New York City, no, that's just a drop in the bucket. But isn't that how it started? So for a minute, until I see those numbers go down, I'm keeping my mask on. Now, please hit me up, 347-285-7777, and let me know, what do you plan on doing? Do you plan on, and I want to know from the vaccinated people, are you planning to take your mask off? Yeah, let me know. I'm interested. I'm interested. All right. Now, I'm trying to figure out, you know, I remember I always tell y'all, you know, me and my sister were not allowed to argue. And at first I couldn't get it, didn't understand it. Then after a while, as I got to be much older, I think I was like in my 40s when it occurred to me. I was like, oh, yeah, well, you can't fight physically if you never argue. You know, very, 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 very rarely do you have people who, you know, just walk up to you and hit you out of nowhere. You know, there's always got to be some verbal exchange, and it picks up from there, and then somebody gets mad. Well, I'm bringing that up because there is this, I don't know what happened. They didn't say what was going on, but there was a 35-year-old mother who they found her body in a clear plastic bin on a Bronx sidewalk on Friday with back bruises and a broken hyoid. I don't know what that is or what part of your body that is. Come on, Shanti, give me a shout. Let me know what that is. And it says it's indicating that she had been pinned to the ground and choked. Her ankles had also been bound at one point. And here's why I bring up the arguing and the family and stuff like that. Because when they hyoid, the broken hyoid, H-Y-O-I-D, hyoid. Thank you. They did the research and the detective work, they followed a young man, Khalid Barrow, who was responsible for stashing his body, they say, at least a week earlier. And they caught him dumping the bin on the sidewalk. And this is such a messed up story to me, because he's 21, she was 35, and he's her cousin. Now, Shanti says the hyoid is the bone between the chin and the neck. Thank you very much. So, now here's the thing. These stories are getting worse and worse and worse. So, she has a 14-year-old son, and he was getting text messages that were supposedly from the mother, telling him that she was leaving him and leaving him in the care of this 21-year-old cousin. And this went on for a minute. Now, remember, it's been a week. You know, this went over a course of a week. And they say that he came home from school and found the cousin cleaning the apartment, which reeked of bleach. So needless to say, he was trying to clean up. They say that they found out that this cousin had used her credit cards and had continued to impersonate her via text. And the family realized that the cousin had her phone and had reported her missing. And they started getting real suspicious. Now, I'm trying to figure out, they don't say in this article why they found it, what he did to make them suspicious. But what they said, that after a while, after he kept doing this texting thing, that the relatives grew extremely suspicious. And at one point, he told the son, don't tell your uncle what's going on. So I don't know at what point they, you know, they got flagged, you know, into, you know, believing that, you know what, this is him. And he's done something to the cousin. So initially he took the bin and put it on the roof. And then when they started asking questions and coming around and really prying into this situation, that he then took it with another person, with an accomplice, and drove in an SUV and dumped it on the sidewalk. They watched him dump this. They had been following him. And he's being charged with second-degree murder and 3 counts of concealment of a human corpse. And the family is just, like, outright disgusted. They say that even when the attorney was speaking to the family, that the one of the family members just put his fingers in his ears because he couldn't take it no more. You know, and it's sick. Is sick. Again, you know, this is family, y'all. This is family. What are we doing here? Oh, I don't understand. Well, you know, I want to talk about, again, this high school, these schools are falling and failing our children. We have another a scenario of a 15-year-old girl out in California who had been reporting that she had been sexually assaulted by another student in the school, and they started threatening to discipline her if she did not stop complaining. They were tired of her coming to the office complaining. So somehow or another, they ended up contacting the mom, and they asked the mom, had she said anything, and, you know, there was something going on at the school. Now, this is what you're telling the mother, that there's something going on at the school, but it's not a big deal, and, you know, it'll be handled. You know, it eventually will drop off. It's not a big deal. And this was the assistant principals she was talking to. Now, I'm sorry. If an assistant principal decides that they're going to call me, or the vice principal, however you call it, because they have assistant principals and they have vice principals now. Oh, they need all of these people. And you still can't get these schools together? That again, we talked about that last week. All of this personnel that the school is pulling in now, and you can't even control what's going on. So they called the mother, and they said, you know, oh, don't worry about it. Everything is okay. You know, we're not worrying about what's going on. Eventually, it'll all simmer down. Well, later on, after the mother continued to pry, the daughter finally broke down and told her that this had been ongoing, that there was a young man who's 17 who had been assaulting her, and come to find out it wasn't just her, surprise, surprise, that there were two other young ladies, 15 and 16, who had been sexually assaulted by the same individual. And she was the second person. So now they are charging assistant principals, 38 and 37 years old. They are faced with a felony count of child abuse under circumstances or conditions likely to cause great bodily injury or death, and two misdemeanor counts of failure of a mandated reporter to report child abuse or neglect. What are you sitting in the school for? What? And they said that, again, when she would come to the office, they had finally gotten so sick of her. They said if she came back one more time, they were going to threaten to do this or that. They were going to put out the school, and that's one of the reasons why they called the mother. So I got a question. Whose son is this? Whose nephew, whose godchild, whose cousin twice removed, whose family member is this who's been allowed to do all of this in the school? Somebody's been reporting this, and you will not do anything about it. You charge the victim. How many times have we heard that since we've been on the air? Where the victim is the one that's being re-victimized when they go to report this thing here. Come on, y'all. Seriously? Where's my due time crew? I gotta talk to my due time crew. You know, it's we continue to do these stories, and it's just like repeating. It's repeating the same thing over and over again. Because like I said, I think it was just last week that we talked about the other school and how they didn't do what they were supposed to do. All right? Come on. We got to do better than this. We have to do so much better than this. We have these children in our care, and we are failing them greatly. All right, where's my dude, Tom Cruise? Where's my dude, Tom Cruise? Tamika was on first, so let's say good morning to Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Monday morning. Good morning to you. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I am well. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Happy Monday.
All righty. Happy Monday to you, too. Oh, let's talk about our Mayor Adams, who in about a week will be lifting the vaccine passport mandate, mask mandate. What do you think?
I'm just... I think it's still dangerous. I think it's still too, you know, there are a lot of people that will say, oh, well, that should have happened a long time ago. But as we can see, it's the bodily fluids that cause the issue, you know. Let's just be honest. You walking down the street, you can't tell when you're going to sneeze or when you're going to cough or, you know, those type of things. And I believe that the mask is, you know, helpful for that, you know. As a person myself who during certain times of the year, because of allergies, you know, I, unlike most people, I don't sneeze, I cough. So, you know, I've seen plenty of people, you know, and stuff like that just makes me cringe. You know, you don't even cover your mouth. You just let it fly, you know. And there's just so many different things in exchanging, you know, from one person to another that I think that the mask does prevent. You know, but the mayor's saying, okay, take them off. I really think that it's still way too soon.
Okay. You know, we've been talking about this school issue and these children wearing their masks. And, you know, my prayer is that you know, that mothers and fathers still send their children to school with their masks, you know, so that they can still be prevented until we see some change, some real change, you know, where there's no real risk potential. So now what about the dining out and the gyms and the event venues and all kind of things? Get ready to pull that off. Passports no longer needed. Don't have to show that you've been vaccinated.
Exactly. So, you know, we have seen time and time again where, okay, that might have not been the right thing to do. You know, you've got one person who knows that they have the virus. They come in there, you know, and that's whether they're vaccinated or not. You know you have it. You come in there, you know, some place like a gym or, you know, even a restaurant. We've heard of individuals, not calling any specific names, that have done it, you know, and I just think that there's still time to be precautious. Just wear your mask and just be really, really careful on what you do.
All righty. We got some news to talk about, too. Let's see what we got here. All right, so we're talking about this cousin thing. 21 years old, you strangle your cousin, who's 35, and you put her in a clear bin, and they show a picture of the bin that was sitting on the sidewalk. And he's impersonating her via text all this time. You know, what in the world are we doing even to family where you don't even care that this woman has a child? What in the world is going on?
We live in a day and time where love... You know, you can love a salad, you know, a favorite restaurant, but when it comes to genuine affection for family members, relatives, neighbors, people that you come in contact with, it's getting less and less. You know, people don't care. You know, it's at a point now where someone can beat a total stranger. You know, you walk across somebody and they just literally knock them down. We have watched many news articles where, you know, strangers were attacked by strangers. For what reason? You know, and you think that there would be some type of higher accord because that's my family. But, you know, we've seen, you know, family members fight over beans, you know, shooting each other and, you know, but, I mean, there's no compassion to me when you take a body and you put it in a clear plastic bin and just sit it out like regular trash. There's no, like, and you just continue. How long did you think you were going to get away with it? Did you think that nobody would eventually find out? Of course, the first thing that you say, oh, no, not such and such. They would never do that, you know. But unfortunately, the day and times that we live in, you have to think about it. It does have to cross your mind.
And it's true. My thought was, you know, when I was kind of surprised when I continued to read the article, Tamika, and they were talking about how all the family began to grow suspect. And I'm saying to myself, I put the iPad down, and I started thinking about some of my cousins. Now, I come from a pretty big family on one side and, you know, not so big, but enough on the other side. And I'm saying to myself, if they found out that John was, what would make them think John would be capable of this, where he would become a suspect? And then not only did one family member believe that he would do something like that, but other relatives, I just put my head back and I started thinking, I'm like, I think anybody, regardless of how crazy you may have acted, if somebody mentioned that Tamika was impersonating, you know, Joan and whatever, I'm like, I wouldn't see Tamika doing that. So I don't know. This was what, you know, that kind of caught my attention there. What do you think?
But it does make you wonder, you know. You automatically say, oh, no, such and such and such wouldn't, you know. But the sad part about it is there has to be a seed of something, you know.
Right.
People don't just automatically just flip off, you know.
Right.
For instance, if you're normally a sunny disposition and, you know, this is the family members know that this is how you are, you know, that's one thing. But if there is a seed of, you know, every now and then they just flip off. You know, they don't want to be bothered with family. You know, there's some residual, something in there. They're not connected that well. Family reunions transpire, and that's the one that never shows up. You might want to question that, you know. And there's always some form of that, you know, that one person thinks, okay, that's one thing. But then when you get other family, you know, now that I think about it, John was a little... You know, it makes you wonder, like, okay, wait a minute, you know, we not only that, when you engage with family on a regular, people know how you respond, you know, certain things that you say, certain things that you put in a text is, wait a minute, why did that come out that way? That doesn't sound like such and such. It does make you wonder.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And then I'm like, and he's only 21 years old. So what have you done that the family could easily, you know, watch your movement and come up and say, you know what? That does sound like, you know, little Junebug could have done something like that. I don't know. All right, Tamika, question. Whose son is this? Whose son is creeping through the school, sexually assaulting the girls, and they refuse to turn him in? Because something ain't right here.
I think that's the principal's nephew. It's a family member of the principal. You know, I'm just saying, you know, because my thing is, this young lady is coming to you on a daily basis. Hey, teacher such and such and such, principal such and such and such, I'm being bothered. You know, and you completely disregard her on a daily basis to the point that if she comes in this office one more time, we're going to do such and such and such, you know. And obviously, you know, it's one thing if somebody says, you know, teacher such and such, pulling my hair. That's one thing. But for you to come to me every single solitary day or once a week or whatever the frequency is, to the point that you're annoying me, something has to be done. You didn't make any moves at all except for to tell this child to shut up. How hard, how awful that is, and the trauma that she might have gone through, and 9 times out of 10, she's going to have to go to therapy to, you know, to repair her mental stability.
Absolutely. You know, these people are being re-victimized. You know, I'm going through this sexual assault, and yet I can't tell anybody in the school. And no wonder her parents didn't know, because if she can't get nobody in the school to believe her, she probably figured the parents wouldn't believe either. So it's a sad state where this just goes on and on and on, and there's no accountability, you know, for this kid takes. So I don't know. I'll be back with some more news with you. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Tamika. All right. Let's say good morning to Pastor Charlene. Good morning, Pastor Charlene.
Good morning, Pastor Steph and everyone on. How are you today, my love?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. I want to get to talking. How you doing? You doing all right over there?
I'm okay. I'm ready to
all
talk,
right,
too. I got it.
All right. Oh, I hear the elder in the background laughing. You must have been talking while Tamika was talking. Good morning, elder. We want to say good morning to you, too. All right. All right. Mayor Adams, March 7th is the day that we are getting rid of the masks in the school. What do you think? You think it's too early? You think it's on time? What do you think about that in the schools?
I think he's crazy, and then I think that it's too soon for them to take their masks off. It's like a freestyle for everybody. Whatever you want to do, everybody's just going to be able to do.
All righty. I think so, too, Pastor Sean. I think so, too. I think if a parent was smart, they'd continue to send their child to school masked up. So hopefully, you know, we'll have some smart-thinking parents. Well, after you've required everyone to be vaccinated, you are now also lifting the passport, the vaccination passport mandate. You can now go into the gyms. You'll be able to go to the restaurants as well as the event venues. And you don't have to worry about having a passport, a vaccine passport anymore. What do you think about that?
I think that that's crazy as well. But then on the other hand, there's so many people who were, remember we talked about how they were stealing them and they were saying that they was vaccinated and they really weren't. So you really didn't know who is and who's not anyway. But for them just to outright to say, okay, nobody needs anything, you know, you cannot wear no mask, you know, and then like Lady Tamika was saying, people are coughing, people are sneezing. Their masks, you know, we talked about how they wasn't wearing a mask anyway. It was an earring. It was a chain holder. You know, so it's really going to be really bad. And then even going back, even with the kids in school, what is going to happen now is the people who are wearing the mask, because there's going to be so many people who is not going to wear them, and now they're going to make everybody, they're going to make us, because I'm going to keep my mask on as well, they're going to try to make us look like we got something when you only try to protect yourself.
Well, guess what? They can think, talk, sneer, do whatever they want to do, but Pastor Steph is still keeping on her mask along with you and Lady Tamika. And I'm going to be honest, I don't think a whole lot of people are going to take their masks off, at least not at this point. You know, there'll be those who can't wait, Pastor Charlene, to rip it off, you know, because they've been dying to take it off. But I still believe that there will be quite a few who will still keep their masks on. And I believe even some who have been vaccinated already will still, you know, we'll go into the venues, but we'll still keep our masks on. And I think that would be the smartest thing to do. I mean, especially now, you know, it's just getting started. Now, if everybody begins to take their masks off and the numbers start, you know, or continue to decrease, then that's a little different. Because eventually, you know, although it's going to be around a while, I think that eventually there will be some time, Pastor Charlene, where we can say, you know, hey, we don't have to wear the mask anymore. Okay? So come on, give me a hit, 347-285-7777. Do you feel that it's a little too early and you're going to keep your mask on? Okay? Let us know. Okay, Pastor Charlene, about this cousin, I'm having such a problem with this thing. Now, I know cousins and family do things every day, but I'm just looking at the age. He's only 21. You know, you really text this kid and told him that you, as the mother, I had to go away, but I'm leaving you in the care of this person. You know, and now you really killed her. They don't know why. They haven't said, you know, why he killed her, but yet that he held his body for a whole week on the roof. And when they started digging, he then decided to take the body out of the building and dump it on the sidewalk. And I guess he figured when sanitation cleaned up, they'd stumble across the body. What comes to your mind?
my thought was this baby probably had issues anyway, and how the family knew, but they wouldn't believe that maybe he would do it to his own. I thought of, is there another cousin that was missing? Did anybody, you know, because if you start saying, well, maybe, oh, well, now let me call the other cousin. Well, what you think? Girl, I think he could have. And my thought was, why didn't y'all come and you knew that he was around this other cousin? Let's just call her Mary. You was around Mary, and nobody thought to check and make sure that she was all right because you could not get her. You could not, you know, and even though someone on the text, anybody can use your phone to text. So you don't know who is actually texting you. So he had her, however he wanted her locked up, you know, before he killed her. And maybe that was a letter that maybe she had written before, or he forced her. He could have forced her to write that.
Well, or he could have been typing it himself, you know, because, again, they did not, you know, they know that it wasn't her who was typing it. She was already dead. So that's how they're putting all of this together. And, again, you know, I have to agree with you. Ain't no way in the world, Pastor Charlene, these people coming, this whole family is now coming to the conclusion that something is wrong and it could possibly be this one person. And y'all ain't never seen nothing exhibited earlier. I have to agree with you, because what would make you come up with that? That's why I told you I was sitting back thinking, I was the girl, like, kind of surveying all my family, all my cousins. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, as crazy as they may act, they still didn't act that crazy where they would be killing folk. Oh, my goodness gracious.
But now look at this. As well as even if you do family reunions, you know, I mean, people don't do it as often as they used to do it. But everybody knows, oh, something's wrong with little Johnny. You know, so-and-so's son, you know, everybody in the family is going to know because somebody always going to tell it. You know, whatever issue they have, or so-and-so is locked up. And, you know, so families talk. So in the midst of that, as they're growing up, you know, sometimes you'll say, you know what? He playing with guns too much, you know. He might be a little killer when he grow up. So you had that conversation. And for you to know that a cousin is missing, you know, somebody should have thought about it. So is it that y'all were scared and it could be me next? Because for him to write the letter and for him to say that the son's supposed to be with him, he had a plan for him too. So
absolutely.
You didn't think about saving
and
the
that's baby? Right. That's right. I thought the same thing. I'm like, oh, y'all, you didn't said that the boy's supposed to be with you. Oh, they're going to find you dead next. Yeah, they're going to find him dead next, because that way, you know, mama missing, he missing. You could be like, well, both of them missing, and now she didn't took her son and went somewhere. Oh, yeah, I thought about the same thing. I was like, oh, no, he had a plan for the kid. He had a plan for the kid. He had a plan for the kid. But thank God that that did not, you know, go over, because that there, I think, was in the works. I do agree. I believe that it was in the works as well.
And I just want to say this. In my former life, that would have been a cousin gathering beat down.
You know what? Well, you know what? I don't know if this family is not against, you know, just taking them over in the corner and doing them up. But you know what? He's in jail, so they didn't get a chance. They didn't get a chance to kind of catch him out there. But it's a lot to be considered, you know, the tragedy right within the family that you would do something like this. And, again, you're on the younger end of the family, because she's 35 and you're 21. So who knows what the issue was. All right, Pastor Charlene, so I'm going to ask you the same thing I did ask Lady Tamika. Whose son is this? Whose you know, cousin, you know, who is this related? Who is he related to that you would treat this young lady and dismiss her, you know, to this degree?
I was so proud of Lady Tamika. I'm with you. It's one of their sons. Yes, I think that they're trying to put it up underneath the rug because there's somebody that's in their family, somebody's higher up in their family, and they don't want it to come back to them. And for them to continue to push this little girl away, now I say lock up everybody. Everybody going, because you should have took the stand and be able to protect. When we go in, when you work in these schools, you should not be picking who is who. Treat them all as if they're your own child. That's how you're supposed to. And you should be able to know that even in the mix of they're going through something, because don't they still have counselors where that they can go to somebody? She should have been able to be comfortable enough, even though they didn't hear her, but she should have been able to be comfortable enough to find somebody who's going to hear her. And you
absolutely.
Guys, she probably was here to tell her mom and figure that she wouldn't, but that's where we come in. We got to be able to have that open door relationship, no matter what you're going through, no matter if it's right or wrong, that you should be able to find somebody that you are able to tell, this is what is going on with me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Oh, thank you, ladies. Well, you know, it's that time for our relationship conversation, and I got a scenario that I want to give you, and let me pull it up. You know, again, who's right or who's wrong? Before, you know, see if we have an opportunity to go into our main topic. So, who's wrong? The wife or the husband? So here's the deal. The deal is. Oh, wait. We got comments from our listeners. We got to hold on. I'm sorry. We got to hear from our listeners. Let's say good morning to Shartees. Good morning, Shartees.
Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm well, thank you. I'm well. What are the listeners saying?
Okay, so we have two comments from our listeners regarding the mask. And one listener sent, get my mask off. I work with kids. Since wearing the mask, I hardly get sick anymore, thank God. Although I miss life without masks, the benefits outweighs my comfort.
All right. Well, we're happy to see that you have been well, teacher. Very good.
Okay, and then another listener sent in, I'm ripping it off. I can't imagine a time where there are no cases at all, so if they are going down and staying down, that's good enough for me. I'd probably wear it when in large groups, but I'm definitely going to relax some.
All right. So we got one from each side. I'm ripping it off. I ain't taking it off. Thank you so much, Shantice, for relaying that information to us and those comments. And we'll be back to talk to you in a little bit. No, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, listeners, for weighing in on whether you're going to keep those masks on or take them off. All right. So we have our dilemma, our relationship dilemma. Who's right and who's wrong? So a husband says he found out that his wife had a horrible habit about a couple of months ago. And he said they were ordering lunch, and he told her to pick the location and to make sure that they picked a drive-through so that they would not have to, or nobody would have to go inside and leave the baby in the car. And she then reveals to him that,
I do that all the time. It's not a big deal to leave the baby in the car. And you know, you just run inside, you pick up the food, and you come back right back out. He said he had no idea she had ever done this, and the thought of it happening just gave him chills. So he told her how he felt, and she promised him that she would not do it again. So then he found out from her that she said she had been running in the pharmacy into different offices, and you know, she would leave the little tyke alone in the car, and she said they didn't live in a bad area, and you know, it was you know, they were super safe. Those were her words. And he said he almost fell out. He almost passed out to know that she was actually really leaving him in more than one place than just like picking up the food. So she promised again that she would never do it. And he said that not that much longer, he said he spotted his wife's car at the gas station near the home, and it was at a stall, not at the pump. So he figured, you know, she was inside getting some snacks. And what he did was he decided to go and say hi, and he pulled up next to the car. And when he pulled up next to the car, he saw that not only was the son in the car again, but that the door was unlocked. And he said immediately he just ran in, took the child, and pulled around the other side of the gas station. So when she came out, he said a whole 6 minutes later, she almost lost her mind, needless to say, because the son is not in the car. And he said when he noticed that she pulled out the phone, he's just assuming that she was going to call 911. He then pulled the car around and told her, you know, he opened the door to the side of where the son was and told her, you know, to look inside, and she saw the son. So at first, you know, she was relieved, and then afterwards she was very angry. And she told him, you know, that was no way to teach her a lesson, you know, because that's what he had told her. You know, he was teaching her a lesson for, you know, leaving the child in the car. And she was like, that's no way to teach me a lesson. And she doesn't speak to him as much. And she tells him all the time she's not going to speak to him until she gets an apology for him. There's no way in the world he should have done that. And if something had happened, it would not have been her fault. And she said he was cruel and psychotic. And how in the world could you do this to me? And I'm not going to speak to you on a regular again until I get this apology. So my question is, who's right and who's wrong? Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, good morning. Jeremiah 29:11. The God, my God said, I know the plan I have for you, period. So let him do what he do. Oh, yeah. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Al. Good morning. Glad to have you with us. So, who's right and who's wrong?
Okay, I'm going to get it. Just wanted to let you know you missed me on all of them.
I know, I'm sorry.
I'm going to let that slide.
I'm sorry.
I'll let you live. It's okay. I'll let you live. It's fine.
Thank you.
I don't think the father was wrong at all. I would say the mother's wrong because he sat there and told you to stop doing it. And not only that, you promised him and then you broke the promise. You did it anyway. And he was showing you that, look how fast that can happen. She said she was in the store for about 6 minutes. All right. Now, that's where he got there. He don't know how long she'd been in there. And within that 6 minutes, he was able to get that child out the car. And you ain't know what was going on. So, no, he's not wrong. And plus, you wouldn't take my child nowhere else again. because you don't know that. You gonna make something happen, so you ain't taking my job. So she was, he's not wrong for that. So you know what? You go do what you do. I watch my child, because you gonna make me catch a case.
Wow. All right. Well, you said some of the things that he actually did say. You know, he told her that this is how quickly, you know, the same way I took the child out, you left him not only in the car, but you left the car unlocked. This is how easily someone else could have taken the child. So you said exactly some of the things that he said, Brother Al. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us. Lady Tamika, what you got? Who's right, who's wrong?
I feel the same way that the dad felt. You know, I asked you not to do that. And, you know, anybody who, let's give a, for instance, that doesn't even entail a child. You know, let's say you parked at a hydrant and you're trying to look out for the, you know, to make sure that you don't get a ticket, you know. You're going to look back from time to time to ensure, you know. And we're talking about a child. Anything could happen in that car with that child, you know. And you're not aware. So the average person that has ever done it, you know, for whatever reason, you know, will look back and see, okay, let me, you know, I'm paying for such and such, but I got my eyes on the car. You're not even looking at the attendant because you're trying to ensure. But the fact that he was able to take the child out of the car and you didn't even notice it means that you've been doing that all the time. You know, you go to wherever, you take care. Oh, he's not going to get out, but it doesn't matter because somebody could go in your car. We've seen instances where a woman had a car, her baby in the car seat. I mean, in the, I think it was in her lap, and you know, someone just pulled the child out of the car. You know, there's so many different dangers that transpire with leaving a child in the car, and the fact that he was able to get the child out and you not even notice, I don't feel that he was wrong. You know, because my thing is, I keep asking you, you're not doing anything. You just, you know, you promised me that you wouldn't, and you still follow through. So, no, I don't think he was wrong.
All right, all right. Pastor Charlotte, what's going on? What do you think?
I say she was wrong. Good for her, what he did. If the keys was in the car, I would have took the whole car and made her suffer. Went on home, and that's what I would have did, because I done warned you, and you promised. I warned you again, and you promised, and it always can be worse, you know, where that somebody could have abducted the baby, and then what would you would have did? There's nothing, and now you mad at me because I'm teaching you a lesson? Because my thing was, even with her lesson, did she really learn? Because she probably going to do it again, because she's so familiar of doing the same thing. So she don't have no conscience. So you could be mad if you want to. I'm with the rest of them. Let me keep my own baby. You go ahead on about your business.
Wow. You know, here's what comes to my mind, and I want to ask you all if this what comes to your mind. My thought is, okay, so what else are you doing? Have you spoiled her? And just pay attention to what I'm saying. Have you spoiled her into believing or into to the point where she doesn't even take what you say seriously enough? You came to her, you went to her repeatedly asking her not to leave this baby in the car, and she kept saying she wouldn't. It makes me think that there are other things in this relationship that you're coming to her about, and she's saying she wouldn't, but now you need to start looking with a microscope over all this, the issues that you have, because I don't believe she's telling the truth, and I don't think this is the first time that you've had this issue. What do you think, Pastor Charlotte?
Absolutely. I think she take him as a joke. And because she'll say, okay, I'll do something, and then she doesn't do it, and he might be mad for that moment, and then he just don't, you know, he just keeps on going. So you're right. It's absolutely other things, I'm sure, that She just think of him as a joke or whatever he say. Oh, don't worry about him. He'd be mad for a minute, or he might not even be mad. Oh, that's just, you know, Johnny. It's okay. You know, he just saying that for right now. So she's
okay.
Yeah,
that comes to my mind as well. Brother Al, you know, what's your thought? You know, do you think that he has problems with her in other areas? This is surely not the only thing that he's had to address and continue to ask her not to do or to do. And he just has not gotten the right results.
Absolutely. She wear the pants of the family. She's the head of the household because he has said things to her before, and he probably got a little bit mad and didn't follow through. So she felt, okay, I ain't got to listen to him. I can do what I want. He's going to just fall back anyway. So, yeah, this is not the first time. Definitely not the first time.
Okay. And Lady Tamika, what's your thought?
Yeah, that's a regular habit, you know. I've seen relationships do that, you know. Honey, don't do such and such and such. Yeah, okay. All right, you got it. You know, and the eyes, you roll the eyes up over it, you know, in your head, and you just continue on as if you didn't even hear what the person said. Or you shake your hand. I don't know how to verbalize that, but you just wave your hand in the air as if you're hitting something like, oh, whatever it is that he's saying right now has no value. I'm just going to continue doing whatever it is that I want to do. And it becomes a habit. Just it's, what he's saying is not even important. I'm going to continue doing. I'm going to be me.
All right. Brother Al, I want to ask you, you know, how do you move forward? What do you suggest that, you know, that individual does within that relationship that would definitely now shift that behavior?
Well, first, I think they need to have a conversation. Like, yo, this is serious what you did. This is serious what you did. Okay. This, you know, to let them know that this was serious what you did, and that, you know, he has to be more firm now. You know, he has to be more firm about his decision and what's going on.
Okay. Lady Tamika, you know, how do you move forward? How do you fix this monster that you've created?
Well, I think it's fair enough for him to say to her, listen, I didn't mean to do this to hurt you, but I have to show you how serious just, you know, leaving the child in the car. You think that it's just something, oh, I'm just taking care of such and such. But look how easily something could have happened, you know, and I think they need to really sit down and talk, you know, because at this point she's hard-pressed and she don't want to talk to him, but there has to be an avenue for communication, you know, especially in this case because you're married.
All right. Pastor Sharlin, she has left this child in the car to go in an office, the pharmacy, the post office, up to 20 minutes. How do you shift this going forward and this issue of you clearly ain't paying attention to the fact that I'm serious? How do you change this all?
Her values. The conversation will be that your values are off. I don't think that I'll be talking, you know, nicely like that, but to know that the values of this baby, this is my child. And for me, I done gave you warning after warning. I done talked to you about other things. For me, I would be done. Because you putting not only yourself in jeopardy, you're putting me and my child in jeopardy. And what else have you done? Have you walked out the house and left the baby in there? And went to the neighbors and had a conversation. So anything can happen. It takes a split second for something to happen. And that's my conversation with her. It would take a split second. And not only that, we cannot, if some, God forbid, something happens, the baby won't be here. And now what? What you're going to try to do, apologize, you won't be able to change it. So you know what? I'm going to say to you, you got such and such. I'm not going to trust you with the baby, but the other issues, if you don't get it together, I'm done. I'm done.
Oh.
I'm done.
All right. Sounds like she's done, y'all. She's done. She's done. She's done. Oh, my goodness. Well, it's a lot to be considered here. Thank you so much, my due time crew, for helping me hold it down today. And you have definitely shined a light on some issues here. Have a blessed day.
You too.
Everyone enjoy
your day. Love you guys. Thank you. All right. Oh, we're at the time of the morning where we get the switch tip number 93 today. Good morning, Shartice, again.
Good morning.
What you got for us?
Okay, today I got the switch with Shartice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 93 for this week is stop cheating yourself. And I had to really take this to God in prayer this past weekend, starting from Thursday night, because he just kept revealing to me how I was cheating myself out of a lot of things. And one of the main things being I was cheating myself out of what God really had for me, what he really wanted me to do, cheating myself out of the desires of my heart. And I, you know, got into the habit of genuinely asking God, like, God, if my desires and motives and plans and, you know, intentions are not in alignment with what you have for me, then please replace mine with yours so that I ain't disappointed 5 minutes later, you know, because I know what it is to just put all this time and energy into something that he ain't tell me to do. And then after a while, he's like, tap on the shoulder. Yeah, that's not what I told you to do. Drop it and come on over here to the right. So I've really gotten into the habit of that. He's been showing me, like, you know, you're not as far as where you want to be because of you, and this is why. And when he started opening my eyes to that, it was just like a whoa, you know, because, again, it's real easy to point the finger and blame other people, places, and things for why you're not able to do or why you couldn't have or so on and so forth. But we don't really pay attention to how we're really cheating ourselves out of a lot of things and cheating ourselves out of life. So real quick, I pulled up the definition of cheat, and I came across act dishonestly or unfairly in order to gain an advantage. And a couple of synonyms for cheat is deceive or double cross. And when I read the definition, it immediately brought me to the thought of, you know, acting dishonestly or unfairly in order to gain an advantage. It's to gain a temporary advantage. And that immediately brought me to one of my memory verses, Hebrews 11:25, which is choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, which is a learned behavior, because naturally we gravitate to sin. We gravitate to what is self-gratifying for the moment, what feels good for the moment. And the Bible challenges us to push those self-gratifying moments, those temporary advantages, those temporary pleasures to the side and just sit in wanting to deal with everything that comes along with being in God, good, all the trials, you know, and the turmoils and turbulence, and really sit in that instead of living a life and stuff that just passes us by. Okay, it feels good for 5 minutes, and then that goes by, and then maybe another 5 months later, I get another 5 minutes of still good, and then I go, and it's like, no, you, while you're trying to chase that, you're cheating yourself out of what God really has for you, because when you choose to really sit in everything that God has, again, good and bad, it builds your character, it builds preservation, it builds endurance to do, I'm sorry, perseverance, I'm sorry, what am I talking about? Perseverance. Endurance, it builds so much inside of you. You then start to take on the traits of God, and you start to learn what the fruits of the Spirit really are. But when you chasing the stuff that just passes you by and only feel good for 5 minutes, what are you really gaining? Nothing. Trust me, I tried.
Okay. Cheating yourself also has you dive heavily into self-destruction. And that brought me to Romans 1:21 in the Message version. Since they didn't bother to acknowledge God, God quit bothering them and let them run loose. And I really like the way this is worded in this version, especially the God quit bothering them, because that's what you're really saying to God. Like, you're getting on my nerves. Like, okay, you keep tapping me on the shoulder. You keep bringing things to my remembrance. You keep allowing me to feel this conviction. You keep having the Holy Spirit remind me of things. And it's like, okay, well, you don't want it, then I'm going to stop bothering you. And when he takes his hands off of us, he leaves ourselves to ourselves. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't need to be left to my own mind, because it ain't the brightest thing all the time. And there I go cheating myself out of whatever it is he may have been giving my mental health. I'm cheating myself out of my mental health. Oh, my goodness. And after the stories, this last thing that Pastor Steph just brought up, that mother has some serious mental health issues. So we can't be cheating ourselves out of having common sense, if that's what God blessed us with, because not everybody has it. Again, it's like grace. You can't pray for it. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You either have it or you don't. I don't need to be cheating myself out of any of that. Okay, you either start or you continue to compromise. And again, that's something that happens naturally. It's easy to compromise with the things of God, because the things of God is opposite of the things in this world, opposite of the things in these streets. And you have to learn to intentionally pursue the things of God. So if I'm in the mindset and in the habit of cheating myself out of everything, then it's easy to go left when God says go right. You know, it's easy to stay in habits, ungodly habits, when God is trying to have you step into the godly habits. And, you know, it's different habits for everyone. You know, some people is drinking, some people is drugging, some people is this, some people is that. But you really have to make sure, and it's a very slippery slope, very thin line when you bring up this compromising thing. We had a switch tip about this long time ago. But you have to make sure that you are not going against what God has for you to do. He has the things in general for Christians. And then when you start having your personalized relationship with God, he starts to put you on with specifically what you need to make sure you're not compromising with. Okay, and the biggest thing that God revealed to me was, not only was I cheating myself out of the things that I always wanted to do, you know, I was having a conversation with someone and somehow high school came up, and I said to them, you know what, I really see how I cheated myself out of my high school experience. Okay, those who know me know I cut pretty much all of high school. Okay, I went to the classes that I liked. You know, I went to school after a while just to have official attendance taken, and then I left. I did everything. And it was like, I had fun. Like, when I think about my high school years, it's like, wow, you know, it was fun. But how, it could have been so much better had I actually went and attended, like, each class and was on time and, like, got good grades in every class and actually studied. And I wouldn't have had to do an extra 6 months. And, you know, back then my mind was on everything else. So it was like, okay, well, at least I got my diploma. I wasn't getting no GED. So, yeah, I did the summer school and night school and the extra 6 months in order to get that diploma. I was getting that. But look at what I really cheated myself out of. It was so much I could have really had that I just said, it ain't important to me. And it's like, wow, all of the regret. But aside from all of that, the main thing that he showed me I was cheating myself out of was my relationship with him. And when you have a relationship with him, so much comes. Again, going to church is a mandate. It's great. Reading and studying the Bible is a mandate. It's great. But when you learn to have that one-on-one relationship with him, it enhances everything you read. It enhances your fellowship when you go to church. And, of course, you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And no, all weekend it's been brought up, you know, in a live prayer that I was watching
Saturday morning and our Sabbath. You know, nobody's going to do the things for us that God and Jesus does for us, that he did, that he's doing, and that he plans to do. And am I really willing to cheat myself out of that? James 4, 8a, meaning the first part, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. He is so unconditional. We are living in a world where everything is conditional, where everything is, if you don't do something for me, I won't do it for you. Or if you do something for me, I still won't do it for you. So am I really willing to cheat myself out of having a genuine, unconditional relationship with someone who is willing to go above and beyond what I can even ask him for? Am I really willing to compromise with that? Am I really willing to trash that, to dive heavier into self-destruction? Am I really willing to throw that away so that I can act as honestly or unfairly in order to gain a temporary advantage? No. So we have to make sure that we're making the conscious decision, making the switch from being okay with being temporary with the things that only last for 5 minutes, and making sure that we're not cheating ourselves out of life, out of what God has for us, and most importantly, out of our personalized relationship with him. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. Say the switch tip again.
Stop cheating yourself.
All right. Amen. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, it's about that time that we hold hands and hold hearts and go before the Lord. Ah, dear Heavenly Father, the kind God you are, we say thank you. Thank you for just waking us up and breathing the breath of life into our body, God. Thank you so much for just introducing us to a brand new day that we've never seen before, filled with brand new tender mercies, brand new hope, brand new promises. And we just say thank you because you're always there, standing there, just delivering so many blessings. And Lord, we just say thank you as we've heard your news today, and it has helped us to realize so many different things for so many different reasons. You know, are we now looking at things with a microscope because we are underestimating the possibilities of any danger? Lord, are we about to take risks, you know, just because someone else is doing it, just because we think that it's time, but we're not consulting you first? Oh, God. How often do we move without you? And we say thank you, God, that you wake us up each and every day and you teach us how to love and how to be kind to one another, God. And as another family has been torn apart by such a travesty, by such senseless behavior, the selfishness, the unkindness that we continue to exhibit, we ask you, God, to just heal this land. Let your people stand up for who you are and represent you accordingly, that we would not be that silent group in the room any longer, but that we would stand up for Jesus. Lord, we're just thanking you because you wake us up each and every day and you give us a new voice. You just sharpen those senses that have grown dull. You have brought things to our awareness. You have made us question who we are and what we're doing. You've invested in us one more time, and we thank you. We thank you for just taking the time to do so. Only a loving and kind God would not leave us by the wayside. Thank you, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for the new people who have come on to listen in the new countries. They don't even know what brought them here, God. But we pray that they have heard something that makes them want to stay and continue to listen over and over and over again, feeling blessed over the words of life that come through the internet, God, or over the phone. We're thanking you, God, for the ones who have just stuck with us, that we must be delivering something okay for them to continue to make sure that they're on each and every morning. Thank you, God, for every listener that participated, that got involved. And we pray, God, that they continue to invest into your work. Thank you, Father. Lord, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. And if it's not, we would not feel comfortable, that we would get restless and antsy because we're not serving you properly, God. That you are not investing in us for us to wake up and go to sleep the same way each and every day. But that there's something that happens, something that's said in this two-hour period that just taps someone on the shoulder and they realize, I need a Savior. Or I have a Savior that I'm not making use of. That I'm allowing God to just do what he do, and I'm not even saying thank you properly. Thank you, Father. Thank you for how you love us. And we will not stop giving you the glory and the honor, so rightly do your name. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Again, as always, there's just so much that we have to pay attention to. And it's scary because so many people would listen to this and not pay attention. It would go right over their head. You know what Pastor Kale has said, you know, God, you're talking, but it you ain't talking to me. And it's so sad. Because he has chosen us. Do you realize that God has chosen you? Do you realize that he has you on his mind? He hasn't forgotten about you. He hasn't left you behind. He hasn't ignored you. He hasn't turned his back on you. And we've done things that God should have definitely left us alone, and we've left people alone for even less. But look at God. Look at how faithful he is. Oh, last night we just examined the kindness of the Lord, and we were challenged to look in the mirror and ask ourselves, am I kind? Does my kindness need some work? Am I pleasant when I speak to people or respond to them or, you know, when I'm supposed to be showing love and kindness? Am I showing a level of impatience? Am I really servicing God the way I need to? Well, guess what? Here's a time to check. Here's your time to check. Check yourself. Check yourself. Hang up this phone or dismiss yourself from this internet and go on your knees and ask God, God, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I pleasing you, Lord? Am I making you proud? Am I showing kindness and love to your people? If your answer is no, then we know you got to get on your game.
You got to get on your game. Come on. Do what you need to do. Make it happen. Because guess what? When God woke you up today, he gave you an opportunity to get it right. Don't blow it. Don't blow the opportunity that God is giving you. You know, people love to say, oh, you know, God wakes me up every day and I give him thanks. Every time I put my foot on the floor, I give God thanks. Is that enough? For all that he does for you, is that enough? Are we showing God that we're truly grateful? And we're not just about lip service. You know, Shanti says, stop cheating yourself. Stop cheating yourself out of God's love. Stop cheating yourself out of God's goodness. Stop cheating yourself out of how amazing God feels. Oh, I like that one. You know, when we feel God, it's an amazing experience. Oh, it's nothing like it. Are you cheating yourself of the experience of really getting to know God? You know, we crave and run after relationships here on earth. But are we chasing God the same way? Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what relationship you have here on earth. It is nothing. Nothing that makes you feel better than the relationship you have with the Lord. Don't cheat yourself any longer. Don't waste any more time. Stop searching and looking around, because, you know, as they say, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, let's get that done. Are you cheating yourself? Ask yourself. When you disconnect, get on your knees and ask God. If you can't get on your knees, then stand up. Face to face with the Lord. And ask him, you know, am I cheating myself? Do you actually have something for me that I'm not accessing? Ooh, if I am, please show me. Because I don't want to be cheated. I don't want to cheat myself any longer. Today is a new day. I just found out that I could be getting something better. I just found out that I could be feeling something better. I just found out that I could be receiving something greater. And I'm walking around here like a peon, like a pauper, and my father is rich in houses and land. My father can give me rest and peace and joy beyond my understanding. Am I missing out on all of this? No more. Oh, it's time to turn on the lights and give God his just due so we can stop cheating ourselves out of the great, big, wonderful Lord. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my due time crew for coming through big time for us this morning. And I want to thank you for your participation in the conversation and hanging out with us this morning. Please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us.
until tomorrow. Where is Let's Talk About It Tuesday Church Folk Day. I love you.